Hi everyone, I'm Kate Boyle and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. Now, before we dive into this week's show, I have a very small favour to ask. If you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, but you're enjoying our episodes, then please hit the subscribe button on your podcast app now. This way we can notify you when we drop a new episode each week. All right, this week on the show, I have a special guest, Jenny Del Reeve. Now, Jenny helps women who have experienced trauma to reverse their pelvic organ prolapse so they can live a confident and active life. Jenny has her own course called Unshakable You, where she helps women that have suffered from prolapse reverse this. In our conversation today, we talk about prolapses, you know, the multiple types, the different grades, you know, why they happen and what we can do to reverse them and heal from them. We also talk about the pelvic floor, the importance of breathing, and also the effects of stress and trauma on our nerve system. Now, just a little warning, we do go into, you know, speaking about Jenny's traumatic experiences as a young child. So if you have had any trauma in relation to the pelvic floor and you find or think that this episode may be triggering, then skip past this episode for this week. Otherwise, I do hope you enjoy this episode. I myself found it a really great conversation with Jenny, really enlightening and learning about the effects of stress on the body and trauma and what it can do long term. I think it's one of the aspects of our health that we can definitely all learn from and then hopefully improve our health for the long term. Let's have a listen in. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle. And welcome to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. So happy to be here.
Well, we were just talking off air because we've had a couple of times where we've tried to record this podcast and we didn't get, you know, great connections. So it's really nice to have you on today. So for listeners that may not know you, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah. Hey, great to meet you all. I'm Jenny. So I am a holistic health coach and a transformational life coach. And together with my lovely hubby, Duncan, we run a program called Unshakable You, and we help women who've experienced trauma reverse pelvic organ prolapse naturally, feel unshakable, and return to a fully active lifestyle.
Which is pretty amazing because I've worked with quite a few women, you know, working in the Pilates field and even in the nutrition field, coming across women that have suffered pelvic floor prolapse, and it's very traumatic. And, you know, many women end up going down the road of surgery, and it might even be eventually, it can be years later. So to have something that can reverse it naturally is amazing. And I know you have your own personal story with this area, if you can share that with the audience too.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, yeah, I just want to echo everything that you said. You know, it happened to me at 42. And it literally was the biggest shock. It was one of the worst things I've ever been through. You know, I've always lifted, always been active, and I've actually been doing this work, you know, as a coach for decades as well. So the first thing I experienced was, why me? You know, shame as well, because I'm a practitioner. I went to that place of, I'm sure you can relate to this, but, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't practice anymore, you know, because I've always worked, I'll talk about that in a second, with the mind body. So I knew, not from a blaming myself perspective, but I knew, wow, you know, you've got some emotions, some misaligned energy here. You've got something going on that you haven't dealt with because, you know, not on purpose. Nobody ever does it on purpose, but you've created something in your physical body here. So, to give you a little bit of background, when I was a child, I experienced, you know, sexual abuse. And a lot of trauma, and it's unbelievably common when it comes to pelvic organ prolapse as well. And I dealt with that for years. I'd seen counselors, I'd done my own work, I gave lectures on it. So I thought I was completely over that. So that's why it was such a shock to me that I would, you know, obviously there's a link, right? You know, that happens and then something happens in the most vulnerable area of your body. So I really had to sit down with myself and say, hey, do you know what, Jenny, you must have some patterns here. Because in my humble opinion, you know, the mind and the emotions create in the physical body. You must have some patterns here that you're unaware of. And it took me a little while, but I figured out I had this pattern that I have now coined the vulnerability to defensiveness cycle. And I figured out I had that going on. So whilst I've got over the actual event itself, the pattern was playing out in every single area of my life. And when I figured that pattern out and how it was playing out, it was wild. So, you know, to give you a few examples, this, you know, when something like that happens to you, sometimes it's a death of a parent, you know, sometimes it's some women have been abused or raped or they've experienced violence, something's gone on. And then you're on high alert. You know, you say to your system and your mind and your emotions go to this place of planet Earth is not safe anymore. You know, my environment's not safe. I'm kind of on my own here. And, you know, your whole nervous system, your whole body goes into fight or flight mode. And when I sat down and really thought about it, I realized, wow, every time I go out running on my own, I'm waiting for somebody to jump out of the woods and attack me. Right. Whenever we used to live in the Alps and we had these stunning sort of French windows that opened out onto the most amazing view. And as soon as it started to get dark, and I didn't even know I really had this pattern, I would start closing all the shutters, you know, pulling the blinds down. And my hubby would sort of be there going, can we not enjoy the sunset here? Right. And I'd be like, lock the house down. Didn't even really know what I was doing because I'd lived with this forever. And then it became really apparent after we had our daughter when I was 39, because I developed what I thought was this brand new fear that she would be abducted. And I just thought, well, every new mother has this. So all mothers experience this, right? And then I would talk to friends and I'd say, do you feel these things? You know, think you're going to be attacked in the dark and, you know, lock the house down at night and your kids are going to be taken away. And some of my friends who hadn't experienced this kind of trauma were like, no, I've never thought that. I was like, what? And I started to realize, wow, this is a thing. This is a thing I have going on. And yeah, and obviously, we'll talk about that later. But when I healed that pattern within myself, my body just fully healed.
Mm. Well, I have to say, the whole, you know, a man jumping out and grab you, I never had that fear. And I'm a runner and I would run in the mornings. And yeah. I actually had that happen. I had a man jump out and attack me. And since that happened, and, you know, in the end, I was okay. And you know, we had the police involved and they found him and all the rest of it. But since that had that happen, oh, my goodness, that change. You know, I wouldn't run in the morning. I wouldn't run if it wasn't fully daylight. Even, and that was probably what, so maybe 5 years ago now, I am still aware that there's that trauma there, because if I am coming up, even if I'm walking and it's just me and there's a man coming the opposite direction, I won't get close. I will go wide. I will cross the road. I will change, because I still have that fear. And I did counseling and I tried to work through it and all the rest of it, but there's still that underlying pattern that's there.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you can relate, you know, to that, because that pattern just plays out. And I, you know, I've done huge amounts of work for years. I even lectured on this kind of stuff, but I did not know how to create you know, because once you have a thought or an experience like that, an energetic vibration, if it's not too far to go today, but you know, that becomes a reality that hangs around you. That's an energy field around you. And it's kind of like I had a sign above my head because I'd manifested situation after situation after, like yours. It's almost like you've got a sign over your head going, I'm insecure and vulnerable. You know, please match me up, universe, world, with all of these other, you know, challenging things in the world. And that's how I live my life. Yeah. And it was so common to me. I just thought it's normal. I thought all women felt like that in the world. And do you know what's really wild, Kate? We decided when after I'd healed, and Duncan and I'll talk about, you know, the physical work we did with him as well. After I'd healed, we said, which is quite funny now, we said, maybe this is a thing. Maybe people aren't healing this. And we didn't know. We just healed me together. We thought, well, maybe we can help other people with this. We'll see. And we decided to interview 200 women with prolapse and just see if this was a thing, and found out from them 50% of the female population had this. Every single woman we interviewed, 90% of the women we interviewed had either been abused, raped, or had a situation like yours. And, you know, when I said to them a bit sort of, you know, nervously at first, thinking, I hope they don't think I'm crazy, you know, are you afraid of the dark? You ever had thoughts that your kids might be abducted? They were like, how do you know this? And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And then Duncan and I said to each other, right, we are on a mission to help women with this on planet Earth, you know, because if you could change that pattern, you know, our thoughts and emotions, you know, vibrate every single cell in our body, every single piece of fascia, every muscle. And, you know, you have that going on for long enough, you'll get a really attention grabbing physical situation like I did. You know, my prolapse was just years and years and years of that vulnerability to defensiveness cycle just playing out in my body.
Mm. So if someone's listening in, how do they identify that pattern before they get too late?
Yeah. It will show up. So let's talk about the defensiveness side of it. So I was somebody who could not handle any form of criticism. You know, even if it was somebody just trying to pass me on some feedback professionally or whatever that was, anything I heard as a personal attack. And I found it really, really, really difficult to be around other people because I just always felt so judged. I always thought people were talking about me. If somebody, you know, in my 30s, I'm 48 now, but in my 30s, if somebody laughed in a room, I would automatically assume they were laughing about me. And it had nothing to do with me. But I was always on that defense, you know, ready for the attack. So those are some signs. Obviously, the other signs we've mentioned, you know, things like fear of the dark. It can play out with money. You're a business. You can just have this feeling that there'll never be enough money. There'll never be enough clients, or somebody could copy your work. You know, it's that insecure feeling. I would say it'll show up in the physical body as lots of little niggles along the way. So I always had, leading up to this, I always had something. You know, I was always going to the chiropractor for a shoulder that was out of alignment, or twinging or pinching, or a little knee issue, just nothing huge, but lots of little things. And in terms of prolapse, I can now see that was always on the way. You know, I was always told whenever I had a gynecological appointment or a pap smear, I was always told, oh, you've got a tilted uterus, you know, you've got a tilted pelvis. I did a lot of sport. And to be honest, if I was doing, you know, over 1 hour, tampons would just be moving around. They would wiggle themselves out by the time that session had ended, because there was already a pressure situation happening in that part of my body. Mm. You know, and pressure in the mind creates pressure and tension in the body. So I just had pressure and tension everywhere. I'd been a health coach for years, and I ate, you know, a great diet, did all the right stuff, drank water. So I did have a daily bowel movement. But you know, one of the wildest things that happened is as soon as I started to shift this pattern, I started to poop for England, and I'm British. And I was thinking, where has all this been? I mean, I'm not even joking. I would look in the toilet and I'd be like, I mean, how is that even possible? And it's like I was releasing decades and decades and decades of blocked emotions and blocked energy. And I realize now, I think my entire colon was probably impacted since childhood. I think I was highly constipated for years and didn't realize.
Mm. It's really funny you say that, because I was working with a nutrition client recently, just doing nutrition work, but one of the main things we addressed was her stress load. So she already had a pretty good diet, but there was a whole lot of stress there. And so we addressed, you know, some of the things she was doing to lower that stress. And she sent me an email a little while ago saying, you know, not much has changed in my diet, but whoa, am I, when I go to the toilet, am I going to the toilet? So
yeah,
like, yeah, that link with, yeah, you know, but it's the same. If you think logically, you're out in the wild and you are vulnerable and thinking something might attack you, well, you don't ever fully relax, do you? Because you're always on the alert that you might need to go quickly and run or flee. So it's the same thing. If your body is constantly in a fight or flight mode, how are you going to relax enough to let your bowels fully empty, essentially?
100%. And I'm so glad you brought that point up, Kate, because, you know, the muscles, as you know, of the pelvic floor loop around the anus. You know, the levator ani, they loop in that area. So classic symptoms are, you'll often be told by a pelvic floor physical therapist, you know, that you have a lot of tension, you have a hypertonic pelvic floor. That's, I mean, I don't want to scaremonger anyone, but for me, I was always told that, you know, so that was kind of almost like a prolapse waiting to happen. I never leaked, but I always had urinary stress urgency. You know, I was one of those people who, I knew where all the bathrooms were, whether wherever I was going. And I would never go longer than an hour, really, without having that need to pee. And it wasn't really ever a lot. It was like a stress, you know, response from the body. And probably because my bladder was already compromised, you know, for those obviously listening that don't know what a prolapse is when your organs have descended and they're pressing into the vaginal canal. So then, you know, the bladder will be in a different place. The urethra will be in a different place. You know, everything is compromised, and the organs even get rotated. You know, your rectum is pushing into the vaginal wall, and it's becoming slightly rotated. There's a rotation in the pelvis. So all of these kinds of things are signs. And, you know, I used to do a lot of, I'm back at CrossFit now, but before I knew I was potentially going to get a prolapse, you know, I would be the person that when you're about to do double unders, skipping, I would have to go to the bathroom. And I wouldn't leak, but there would be this overwhelming sense of, I'm going to wet myself if I don't, you know, go and do something here. And that's a pressure situation. So there's a lot of factors leading up to it, I would say.
And even, you know, as you were sort of saying and giving a bit of description with the, you know, physical aspects and the organ changing and that too, there are certain levels with a pelvic floor prolapse, and level 1, 2, and 3. Can you go through those for women as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of, the first thing I will say is there's a lot of discrepancy. So what happened to me, so I first discovered I had prolapses when we were living on the border of France and Switzerland. And the first person who assessed me lying down. So they were like, oh, it's nothing. It's just a grade 0 to 1, which is just a small descent, you know, of the organs. But as soon as I went to the next urogynecologist and was like, could you assess me standing up, squatting and all the rest of it? They were like, okay, yeah, now we're looking at a 2 to 3. So a grade 3 is when the organs are considered to be flush with the body. Some people will say they're actually slightly protruding. So basically your vaginal opening, you won't be able to see an opening when you're at a grade 3 because they are literally flush. And then a 4 is when it's fully, you know, out of the body. So I actually had a grade 3 rectocele. So that's the rectum pushing in. I had probably a grade 1, so a mild uterine prolapse. Now with the uterus, everybody's uterus is actually in a different position and it will move around depending on your cycle as well. So when it's releasing blood, it will be lower during your cycle and higher, you know, during other points of the month. So that was well into the canal as well. That was much like I could put obviously my fingers inside myself and palpate and I could feel that cervix, you know, it's going to almost feel like a donut, soft donut. And then the bladder was a grade 2 to 3. So the bladder was almost actually at the entrance. So that created all kinds of burning sensation, you know, constant urinary tract infection. So yeah, I had a hat trick of those. I had a grade 3 rectocele, considered, you know, one of the worst you can get. Grade 1 uterine, 2 to 3 cystocele, which is the bladder. I also had a huge ab separation as well and a small umbilical hernia.
I'd say hernia.
Complete mess. So yeah, total and utter mess. But you know that, so I healed all of them. So they've all gone back to their natural position. A lot of people are like, really? But yes, they have 100% all back to the natural position, which obviously was confirmed by a urogynecologist as well. But the thing that impressed me the most when I did the emotional work was when they re-scanned, you know, my whole abdominal wall, that ab separation that I had when they re-scanned it was thick with fascia. It wasn't there anymore and it was thick. You know, the body knew what to do. As soon as, I'll talk about the physical work we did in a second, but as soon as we got those emotions working, you know, got the consciousness or the energy running through the cells and the cells knew what to do, because your body knows exactly what to do, everything kind of went on supercharge and tons of crazy things happened in my body. Even an implant I had in my tooth where they sort of said, you know, there's zero bone over there. We've got a real problem with that down the line. That was rescanned. That was covered in bone. You know, when you get out of that really strong vulnerability, even 50% of the time, you know, cellular turnover is faster. Your cells can get on with what they need to do. You know, fascia can be put down. The body can be realigned. It's really amazing what can actually happen, you know, when you can get yourself to that place.
Yeah. So for the work, how much was emotional and how much was physical?
Love that question. Thought you might ask that. Do you know what? I personally believe that we are 99.99999% energy in having an experience in a physical body. So here's how I would love to describe this. The work really was, let's say, 99% emotional. But because I'm an athlete and I've always trained, for me, bringing in the physical work. So my husband works with the fascia and he's also trained in a really awesome technique. I don't know if you've heard of hyperpressors.
I've heard of it, but I don't know it personally yet.
I will explain what it is in a second. So for me, having that physical element, the way I would describe it, it's like it was an avenue to allow my belief that I could heal. So of course the physical does some work. Of course it does. You know, you're moving muscles, of course, but really also it's a way to allow energy to flow to the cell. And for me, I love working with the physical body. That was my path of least resistance, to do 50% physical work and then 50% emotional work. And then I felt all the bases are covered. You know, my body will know what to do. And hyperpressors, if you haven't heard of them, they're essentially a low pressure breathing technique, which creates a natural, and it's involuntary as well. It's not voluntary. It's not like a vacuum, an involuntary slide and glide of the deep core muscles, so the transverse abdominal muscles. And there is a ligament, which my husband discovered, which actually goes underneath the bladder and the urethra. And when you create this natural slide and glide, slide and glide by expanding the fascia of the ribs, it lifts the whole of the pelvic organs up into their natural position. And when you can relax enough and not try to make it happen, which everybody does in the beginning, you know, do a vacuum, when you can relax and that happens, yeah, it feels like magic, because you do not feel your organs pushing into your vaginal canal when you do that, and you feel them in the right position, and that gives you so much hope
and relief, like at the same time.
Yeah. I would have when you know my situation was at its worst after practicing those poses, because obviously it's like a meditation as well, because it's focused on the breath. It's a double whammy. It's fantastic. I would feel for several hours relief. I wouldn't have that tampon feeling. I wouldn't feel the heaviness in the pelvic floor. But then you can get your mind in a better place, you know, because it's the hardest thing in the world, actually, when you have an attention-grabbing physical reality, to stay positive. And that's actually not what we teach on the emotional side of things. You can't just all of a sudden start chanting affirmations to yourself and start visualizing your uterus flying up in the air when you are in vulnerability and fear that your organs are going to fall out of your body one day. you know, you have to rainbow bridge those thoughts and emotions, and you have to find a way around that. You can't, I'm sure you know, but if you just say things you don't mean to yourself, that won't change the frequency, you know, that you emit from yourself. That won't change your emotional set point.
Mm. Well, I love that you were talking about the breathing, because they often say, you know, you've got your diaphragm, but then they often talk about the pelvic diaphragm as well.
Yeah.
And the connection of the breath. And I think when most people think about engaging their pelvic floor, like you said, they think about lift and squeeze and hold, you know, but they don't think about connecting to their breath, which is part of the reason why I love Pilates so much, because we do connect to our breath and connect to our pelvic floor and all the rest of it. But, you know, that sort of missing link almost when you're practicing your pelvic floor exercises is the breath. And if you're not thinking about that, then you're going to stay in that sympathetic state and you're not going to drop back into that parasympathetic state. And then therefore, like you said, you can keep practicing those exercises, but if your body's in that sort of flight or fight state, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I always say, you know, to our clients and to the members in our program, you can't out-exercise or out-diet misaligned energy and stress. You just can't. Of course you'd want to do this because they will help. Of course they will, you know, they will help the body, they will help your digestive system, you know, of course. But if you're in the kind of high stress load I was, you're always going to be fighting against that. You know, on paper, I ate a diet that, you know, Madonna would be proud of. I mean, it was organic, it was biodynamic, well, everything. But my stress levels and my fear were so high that I had digestive problems constantly. Bloating constantly, constipation, all the rest of it on paper, that shouldn't have been the case. But the sympathetic load, exactly as you said, on the body was off the charts. So, it's the breath and connecting to the breath, which, you know, connect you to who you really are also, is really, really powerful. And it's actually almost what I really had to do, and I'm sure other people can relate to this, is the way I thought about everything in my life up until that point was I was a very A-type person. I like to call myself an A-type in recovery nowadays. And I was a really focused person. And whilst there's nothing wrong with that, there's so many wonderful things that come off of that. I was used to always forcing everything into place, you know, with my action and with my will and my determination in sport and in life and everything. And the amazing thing that happened when I got the prolapses is this was the first time in my life that I could not out-diet this. I could not out-action this, you know, couldn't out-exercise it. I had a situation where all I had left was to figure out what was going on in my mind and who I was in terms of a being in the universe. And in the end, that turned out to be best thing that ever happened to me, because it forced me to make that my priority and it changed my entire life.
It's very powerful, isn't it? Like finding, working out that there's that connection and then it has that flow on effect to all other areas of your life.
Yeah. You know, it dramatically changed the way I thought about being a parent. It changed my relationship. I'd always, my whole life had issues with sexuality because of what happened to me. It was never comfortable. You know, always felt really vulnerable. I have an amazing husband, so he's really patient and sensitive in that area, but I was always on edge. You know, it was sort of something I kind of got through. And that completely changed, you know, when I really understood who I was and that, you know, we create our own reality with our own mind and that, yes, what I like to call the wild, wild west of planet Earth, you know, there will always be awful things to observe on the wild west of planet Earth. But when I realized that with my own mind and my own emotions and my perspective on the world and the fact that I wasn't just this physical meat suit, when I understood that, of course, I still have negative emotion, everyone will, but I no longer feel vulnerable, which is why we called our company Unshakable You. And when you know how to manage your mind and emotions, you know, to bring about what you want in life and how you want to feel in life. It's so unbelievably powerful. And I honestly feel that a part of me brought that awful experience towards myself so that I could figure this out, because I just wouldn't have done it otherwise. I would have carried on in my 100 miles an hour way with niggles all over my body and things happening, but I would have just ignored them, to be honest with you, and just carried on.
Well, I often say on the podcast and to my clients that when I'm working with people, I can get them to a certain point and then we kind of stay there. And, you know, depending on the relationship you have with the client or if they're in a group situation, you know, I'll often say that there's some type of underlying trauma that's there that needs to be worked through. That's, yeah. You know, it's not a physical thing that I can fix with an exercise. It's, you know, you need to go off and it might be speaking to a psychologist or, you know, working with somebody else to process that trauma. And when clients do that, then they have, you know, pain disappears. They have all these breakthroughs that they didn't have before. And from a practitioner point of view, it's like, you know, the connection's there, but sometimes, you know, some clients are willing to go down that road, but then there's other people that it's hard to recognize, or they do recognize it, but they're not ready to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a reason with our programs, we interview every single candidate, because, you know, if you're not ready to do that kind of work, and some people aren't, and zero judgment, right? We all get to decide how we live our lives. And I don't believe that there is a right or wrong in any single way. So we make sure, you know, somebody who comes into our program is ready for that, because otherwise coming in, listening to the kind of information that we share would be awful. So I think, yeah, at some point, if you are open and you really do want to heal your body, you will find somebody or some course or like you said, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, somebody will help you to make that connection between the mental, emotional and the physical. And I used to say the same thing to my clients before I did the emotional work, before I was trained in that. I would say to clients when I was working with them holistically, you know, with health protocols, I would say, I can get you to maybe 50, 60, maybe 70%, but I can't help you with that last 30%. You know, because I hadn't figured it out for myself. And as soon as I understood how a vibration works, how when you have a thought, it manifests an emotion, and that is then in reality for the whole of time, not to worry anyone. But, you know, that's how beliefs are created, and that you have to slowly transition these beliefs. And for me, I think, for me as an individual, what worked really well was working on my mind and emotions on the one hand, physical on the other hand, holistic health. But then I don't believe any of it could have ever happened if I didn't take the time to really discover and understand how this universe truly works. And I studied a lot of quantum physics. I looked at a lot of the work of Joe Dispenza, Esther Hicks, you know, Zig Ziglar, Bob Proctor, all of these wonderful people. And I started to get hold of the idea that a healed version of me was in vibrational reality. And then every time I meditated, I could sense this potential, this opportunity that, you know, you've just got to get out of the way of you. You don't have to heal your body. You just have to stop doing that thing you're doing with your mind all day long, you know, thinking. And one of the biggest things is being hard on yourself. And if you just stop doing that a little bit, obviously you need the right tools. You can't just switch that off in a nanosecond. But I think when you have the right tools and the right practices and you know how to connect into something other than this, then for me, that's the full package, working in all of those areas together.
Hi, everyone. I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know that I have a brand new daily Pilates workout that you can download for free and work out with me. Now, this daily Pilates workout is just 15 minutes. It's going to help you build strength and mobility. It's going to help energize you, leave you feeling really good. And the best bit, it's only going to take 15 minutes. So to grab your free workout, head on over to the podcast show notes and click the Daily Pilates Workout link. I can't wait to see you on your mat.
And how did your husband come into the mix on your healing journey?
Yeah. So he was, we've actually always worked together. So around about, God, we've worked together for 2 decades. Sounded really old now. But around about 15 years ago, we started working together. Actually, it might be 20 years now. And he always did the physical. He understands the emotional as well, but he was always really inspired by the physical, the fascia. So he's a personal trainer. He worked with an incredible, really incredible osteopath in France who has some quite out there techniques, but really are, you know, incredible at working the fascia. For those of you that don't know, the fascia is like if you peel the skin off a chicken breast, it's that white stuff underneath it. And we have sheets of fascia going through our whole body, you know, from the head to the toe. So together with this osteopath, he created a whole series of poses to help realign the whole body. Because if you have a prolapse, you nearly always, almost every single time, have a rotation in your spine. Mm. And then you have a rotation in your pelvis. And obviously, there's usually a rotation in the neck. So you've got these sort of, from the emotion, you've got all these rotations going in the, on in the body. So he was really passionate about people not having to always go to see a chiro or an osteopath, you know, every single week for the rest of your life, because that's what I was pretty much doing. And he was passionate about the power of being your own healer. So he created a whole series of fascial poses. Then he trained in hyperpressives as well. So it's quite unknown back then, to really empower women to be able to align their own bodies. So he practiced all of that on me, and it was really amazing. Literally within, I would say, 3 months, my lovely chiropractor, very open, incredible woman, started saying to me, what the heck's he doing? Because I don't need to even adjust your pelvis anymore. And I've been adjusting your pelvis for 4 years, every single week, and and your pelvis is in and your spine is aligned. I've got nothing to do here. And that was really empowering. So he did fascial work, hyperpressive work. Also, he really helped me retrain my deep core muscles because I had a lot of muscle imbalances. You know, I had a lot of really strong sort of front of the body, classic, and very weak glutes, hamstrings. Despite doing tons of work there, I think because I was always in that vulnerable place, I didn't have balance in my body because I didn't have balance in my mind. So I had muscle imbalances, weak core muscles, weak pelvic floor muscles, you know, tight quads, you know, tight chest, all the rest of it. I was constantly in this guarded defensive position, you know. And of course, I always wanted to smash the weights back then because that's how I got my rage out. And for the 9 months that it took me to heal, I didn't lift, I didn't do anything. I knew I just had to find a different, I had to do something different, right? Not that whole thing of doing what you've always done and somehow expecting a different outcome. I'll say one of the other things he did, which was really significant, was he taught me how to manage intra-abdominal pressure. So when I would look back at lifting videos, it's wild to me now. I didn't even notice at the time, but I look back at lifting, you know, me doing deadlifts and things, and my entire abdomen, I didn't know at the time, was just protruding forward. You can see it now. But so, of course, all that pressure, where was it going? No wonder there was a hernia, forward and down.
Yeah, that's it. I always say to my clients, like when we're talking about pelvic floor engagement and the importance of it or whatever, and intra-abdominal pressure that we talk about. And I say, you know, you can look it up on YouTube. There's these weightlifters, you know, and they go to lift the heavy weight, and the pressure has to go somewhere. And, you know, gravity and the opening, it's going to go down and out. And you can see the organs come straight out. And it's extreme, but that visual, you know, makes it a little bit clearer when we're talking about how pressure is created and how we can reduce pressure and why we use our breath to help reduce that pressure in the movement of the diaphragm and et cetera. So I think that's another thing that people aren't maybe even aware of intra-abdominal pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. I was not aware at all. I came from that classic system of bracing, right? Which I think, you know, maybe men, I still don't think it's great for men, but maybe they can get away with a little bit more because they have a different system. But for women, it's just disastrous if you hold your breath and then you put yourself under load at the same time as well. You know, that's got to go somewhere. And he taught me that you know, the two pressure managements in the body are the diaphragm and the pelvic floor. So, you know, learning the right breathing in a lift is paramount. And I'll never forget, I actually only went back to CrossFit this year because I spent a long time training myself and my breathing from the hyperpressive work into the lifts again, you know, slowly with very little weight once everything had healed. And it had such a beautiful moment when I started back at CrossFit and was just going into a squat. And I felt as I went into the squat without, I just did my normal breathing, well, the breathing I'd been taught. And I felt my pelvic floor lift for the first time. And I was like, wow, it knows what to do now. You know, it put the right amount of tension. It knew what to do. Whereas before, shut off, disconnected, you know, taking all the load. I was even often clenching and holding on at the bottom of a squat, which is one of the worst things you can do. And the body was just synergistically moving together. And it's the best feeling when you no longer worry that something's going to happen, you know, when you're doing these high intensity movements. So, yeah, and no more needing to pee before double unders. I was in a class the other day with 20 women. And I was the only one who didn't head off to the bathroom before and after. And I was like, yes.
Winning.
Yes. Yeah. So it's great when that's no longer a thing. And, you know, women have told me, you know, they're doing the best they can. The information isn't out there. And women are often managing lifting sessions and CrossFit and all the rest of it via inserting tampons before they go and work out, via wearing, you know, incontinence pads and pants, and they're managing the symptoms. And not to scare anyone, but you know, that becomes a much bigger thing to deal with in your 60s and 70s or post-menopause. You know, you are better off dealing with it in your 30s and 40s, in my opinion. You know, catch it before it becomes a full-blown prolapse.
Yes, well, as we know, as you start to enter perimenopause and menopause and estrogen levels start to drop, then we start to lose that tone and that sort of, you know, connective tissue strength in our pelvic floor, which can contribute to prolapses, which is why they can be a lot more prevalent as we age. But again, I don't think women are really aware of that. I think a lot of the time they think prolapses just happen to women that have babies. They have this sort of, yeah. Well, you had a baby, that's kind of, but they don't think that it's, well, you know, I'm 60 and I've never had kids, and how can I have this prolapse happening right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an admin in lots of different Facebook groups, so I help out, you know, women in these Facebook groups with prolapses, and they are all so shocked that it happened to them. Exactly as you said, there are women nowadays in their 20s and 30s with prolapses who have never had a child, you know, but they've had that pressure situation going on in their mind. They've got tension in their pelvic floors, you know, that no one has taught them how to breathe and to live correctly. So it's a real problem, and it's because it's so taboo still, it's not talked about. I'm always actually amazed. Some people often ask what I do when I'm at CrossFit, and it amazes me that more men, when I say, oh, we work with pelvic organ prolapse, more men go, oh, yeah, I've read about that. I had a dog with that. I know what, than women. Women often don't know what it is, but for some reason, a lot of men seem to know what it is, you know? So, yeah, it needs to be spoken about. It needs to be become mainstream information that women can talk about their organs and their vaginas. This needs to be normalized, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was speaking to a pelvic floor physio recently, and she was actually working with a male, and he was suffering lower back pain. You know, she addressed his core, and, you know, that kind of helped a little bit, but not a lot. You know, did squats and addressed his glutes and hammies. And again, she said that helped a little bit, not a lot. And then she said she asked him, you know, after a number of sessions, they'd gotten to know each other. She asked him about his pelvic floor, and he said, yeah, well, my wife would probably say that she's, you know, not so happy with my pelvic floor. So then she said we started addressing the pelvic floor, and then she's like, oh, all of a sudden even his back pain disappeared. Yeah. So I think too, we often don't realize that some of that other pain that may be happening around that area, whether or not it's, you know, lower back pain or, you know, hip flexor pain and things like that, can be related back to pelvic floor too.
Yeah, 100%. I was that classic person with constant sacroiliac joint pain, you know, the little joints at the back. So that was constantly creating pain through the hip flexors, down back of the leg. It wasn't a dysphagia, you know, I'd been cleared for that. But yeah, I constantly had pain around the pelvis, in the abdominals. It's all connected. And so much of it is coming from that area, because your core muscles, as you know, and your pelvic floor muscles and your diaphragm, you know, these are all on a feedback loop, and they're the powerhouse of your body. The thing that I was so amazed about when I went back to sport after, you know, healing that part of my body and dealing with intra-abdominal pressure was the strength I had. And bear in mind, I hadn't lifted for almost a year, was double. And suddenly I realized, wow, I've never been able to recruit this part of myself with the breath before. Now I've got the power coming from the center and, you know, moving outwards to the limbs. Wow, I can do so much more before. And it was this really incredible discovery that that part of the body is so important. And because of the abuse, I was so disconnected from that entire part of my body as well. It's like I just shut that whole part down.
Well, originally, you know, growing up, I was a dancer. So I had leakage issues, you know, just from the constant jumping and jumping. And I had lower back pain. I'd done so many different injuries. I ended up with SIJ pain and all the rest of it. And what healed me was starting Pilates and connecting to my breath and learning how to, you know, down-regulate my nervous system with the breath, which I'd never thought of before being, you know, teenagers and then in my early 20s. Yeah. But then also learning about pelvic floor, correct abdominal engagement, the movement of the diaphragm, and how it's all interconnected. So, you know, I guess, touch wood, I was lucky that I didn't hit a spot where I had a prolapse, but I had all the signs leading up to it. I was just lucky enough that I found something that enabled me to connect to using my breath and working with the diaphragm at an early enough age so that when I went through having babies and all of those sorts of changes, I was at least armed with that knowledge to help.
Yeah. And I just want to make a little point of what you said there, because so many people ask me every single day, but isn't this just the childbirth thing? Exactly as you mentioned earlier, you know, isn't this just the menopause thing? And I always say to people, that's the avenue through which it happened. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That allowed it to happen. But if you didn't already have a pressure situation in the mind and things already heading south in your body, that wouldn't have happened via childbirth, because there are people all over the world. And Duncan and I actually traveled to Africa to meet with a physician who works in the bush studying women giving birth naturally. They don't suffer from prolapse, you know. So it was really cool to see how it, of course, the childbirth allowed it to happen, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going on for decades before that. And I think if you can realize that and you can accept that within yourself, it's much easier to come out of that sort of victim blame state, because it's the most normal thing in the world when you've had a terrible birth and you've had a birth injury and it's been awful. And understandably, you're going to be really angry, you know, at the medical providers that were there and how that was handled and all the rest of it. And that's completely understandable. It's the most logical thing in the world. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel that way. But I think if you can get yourself to the point where you can take responsibility and say, I didn't know that, I couldn't have done any differently, but yeah, this was always happening. Okay. You can then get to the place of taking responsibility and saying, well, if I created all of that in my body without knowing, well, then maybe I can heal. And then there's the opportunity.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I mean, I have a birth trauma story, because when they stitched me up after my first, he essentially created a neuroma and stitched up. And so I had to go back in for surgery and have that fixed. And there was definitely a lot of fear there. And then getting pregnant with my second, I was like, oh my goodness, how is this birth going to go? Let alone just having the baby, but then post-birth. And again, connecting to the breath, you know, leaning into work. And I went off and did extra yoga classes, solo yoga classes, worked with, you know, a practitioner to try to, I guess, connect better to that area, to relax and release and all of that. And I think that helped as well. But yeah, it's definitely a journey, and every woman has a very different journey. And sometimes, you know, we can control certain things. And then there's other things that happen, like you might be have a birth, you know, trauma, but that's something that's out of our control. But what we have control of is how we deal with it afterwards.
Yeah, 100%. I always say that, you know, even the healing journey is an individual journey. You know, you will find your own way. Anybody that even applies for our program, I say to them, you don't need us to do this. if you want a blueprint that takes you dang, 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 yes, go for it. You can work with them, do that. But you can heal this on your own. There's all the information out there. Everything's there. It's just you've got to find that individual path for you. And there's a million routes or routes to it as well, like you've discovered. You know, everybody, there's something for everybody, and what is right for one person is not right for another.
But I think a course like yours that streamlines it is much better. Yeah. Because even having the knowledge that I had post my first baby, I was like, you know, the level of pain I had was not, I knew it wasn't right. I had been to the osteo and she'd done adjustments and she was like, give it another week or two. And I was like, no, this just isn't right. And then I ended up taking myself off to the pelvic floor physio because I was like, something's not right here. But, you know, post birth, the gynecologist didn't pick it up. You know, the osteo tried, they didn't really do any. And I had the knowledge to know that. But there's so many people that go through that are like, you know, you trust a practitioner if they say there's nothing wrong and it's just the way it's meant to be. And, you know, but if you can find something like your course that has that information and streamlines it, it can make that healing process so much easier.
Yeah, totally. And I think if you've been through it yourself, you know, you know how to help a person intimately through that situation. You know, I always say, because a lot of people say to me, you know, about medical practitioners, and I say, well, you know, they are great people. They get in this work to help. They really want to help. And I've actually worked as clients, a lot of medical practitioners, but often they're really depressed and disillusioned because the system that they're in doesn't allow them to practice the way they would actually love to practice. So, yeah, I think anytime you've got somebody who has healed or done what you want to do, I listen to those people. Those are the people I go to for help, right? Because I'm like, you've got what I want. How did you do that?
Yeah.
And
And they've got the experience and they've also lived it, so you can relate to them better. You're like, oh, yep, you know what I'm feeling. You've been through it. And then you've done the work yourself. So you know what it takes to get the result you want.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So yes, one woman at a time. And do you know what blew me away in the program? I always love it when you create something, because it took me a good 9 months to heal. And then it took me almost a further year, I would say, for the back wall of my vagina. It wasn't classed as a prolapse anymore, but to be strong, you know, that I couldn't feel sort of like when you needed a big bowel movement, sort of like that pressure from poop pushing in, okay? Because that wall was so thin for me between, you know, the back wall of the vagina and obviously the rectum. So that took a while, but there are some women in our program that have healed full-on prolapse situation in 4.5 months. And it blew mine and Duncan's mind. We were like, wow, okay, good. We've streamed like this enough that they can just, because obviously we were searching around. We knew a lot of stuff, but figuring out how to streamline it and cut out all the fluff. So yeah, I think when you can, you know, make something simple, step-by-step approach, and you've tested it and researched it, it's a really good thing. People can just follow. They've got to do the work, obviously. Can't do the work for them, but yeah, it's powerful.
So how do we get your program into more, you know, streamlined hospital recovery and all of those things? Is there anything in the process of it to make it, you know, come out to the more mainstream?
Do you know what we're doing? We decided to micro niche. So we're helping, you know, women who've experienced trauma, and we just decided that, you know, we're going to let that happen for itself. We are working with women, obviously, privately in our program, and the amazing stories are getting out there. But already we have psychiatrists, therapists. We even have a couple of pelvic floor physical therapists with prolapses in our program. So I kind of feel I'm not a licensed medical practitioner myself. And sometimes it's harder for the medical establishment to hear that. You know, when I healed myself and I went back to the same urogynecologist, it was funniest story, because he kept saying to, you know, the nurse, You've given me the wrong notes here. Mrs. Del Reeve's got a whole hat trick of prolapses, this lovely British guy. And she's like, no, they're her notes. No, you can't do it. And he's like, stand up again. And, you know, he's like, squat. And he's like, well, if I press here really, really, really hard, I could maybe get something that looks like a weak back walk. And I was like, can you just not accept that I don't have them anymore? And, you know, he explained it so beautifully. And he said to me, it's really hard for me to accept that, you know. And he's like, but I can't find them. So I sort of feel like the more women we help in the world, particularly women who are in those positions that they can speak for us and talk about this information and also potentially speak about it in potentially more of a scientific way than maybe I can. Duncan can do a better job of that than me. Then I think it will make its way into that, you know, into that field. But I already see the mind-body connection is becoming more normal. People like Mel Robbins, I heard her talking about it for one of the first times on her podcast the other day. The holistic psychologist, I heard her talking about it. You know, people like Bruce Lipton and Candice Pert, you know, Candice Pert discovered this connection. She's a scientist in the 1950s, but she was a woman. They thought she was completely nuts. She wrote a paper on it and it was like, what are you talking about? You know, so I do see things improving. And, you know, even physicians nowadays, even in their medical model with the limited amount of time they have, you know, they are understanding that stress impacts the body. So I think it's gradually making its way there. But, you know, as my beautiful 9-year-old daughter said the other day, she said to me, you know, Mom, why aren't people growing limbs like axolotls? Really good point, right? And I said, she said, do you believe humans can? I said, I do. I believe anything is possible in the human body. And she said, well, why are they? She said, me too. But why are people not growing limbs? And I said, because it's belief, like anything, you know, you need X amount of people to demonstrate that something is possible. And then people take that belief on, just like running, you know, mile or whatever, you know, you need people to see that demonstrated to believe it's possible. So the more women there are like me in the world that are saying you can heal this, you know, if you want to have surgery, that's up to you. That's another avenue. Great. No judgment. But if you want to do something else, you can do this. This is not a life sentence. You know, I've seen in our practice some wild things happen. I didn't do them, but Duncan and I have taught people tools. We've seen people heal cancer. We saw one woman who'd had half of her thyroid removed, grow back her thyroid, you know, and the medical community just said to her, I don't know what you've done, just go off with your prayers and carry on, like we don't want to know about this, it's too much. But anything is possible. Anything's possible. So I really want to say to anybody out there who is feeling limited, like they'll never get their life back, you know, feeling like they want themselves back, you can. It's a process. But I believe, you know, the body is capable of anything if you put it in the right conditions.
Yes. Well, I agree. So I agree 100% as well. And I've seen some amazing things happen and read some amazing things. And even just like, you know, the side of cancer treatment with people being told, you know, that's it, you've got a couple of months, but then, you know, they go off and they do the work, stress, trauma, diet, lifestyle, all of these things, and then they go into remission. So, you know, it's more than just one thing. But before we wrap up, I do want to ask about pelvic floor surgery and your take on pelvic floor surgery, because I know that is an option that a lot of women look to when they get diagnosed with a prolapse.
Here's the thing. I mean, everything is energy. Everything is law of attraction. Everything is about beliefs. I'm going to tell you a really off-topic story that's going to sound really strange, but this is how I would like to describe this. So years ago, I was working with a client and lovely lady, and doing lots of emotional work with her. Duncan was doing physical work with her. And she wanted to get her eyesight back because she was really, really short-sighted. And it's so funny because I was around her house one day because I'm going to drop some things off. This is back in the day when I used to see people physically. And I noticed on her kitchen table, I kid you not, piles and piles and piles, probably about 80 pamphlets on laser eye surgery. And I looked at her and I was like, because everything is manifested. So she was a match to this. And I looked at her and I said, how, you know, have you noticed that you've got all of these pamphlets on laser eye surgery? She said, yeah. And I said, have you not thought about just doing it? And she was like, oh, how can you say that? You're teaching me mind-body connection. You know, you're showing me how to meditate. Surely I can meditate my bad eyesight away. And I said to her, well, of course you can. You could do anything, but do you believe you can? And she said, no, not that. She's healed all kinds of things in her body, but she did not believe that she could heal that, because we all have beliefs and experiences and challenges in life that we, and then that shapes our beliefs and, you know, what we can and can't believe. And so she said to me, but am I not failing at the law of attraction if I go and get laser eye surgery? I was like, no, that might be the easiest path for you to do it that way. She was like, but isn't meditating spiritual and laser eye surgery not? I was like, no, it is all, you know, even this water here is energy. The molecules are just slowed down enough that it's a physical thing, right? So the thing I would say is that it depends on the individual. For some individuals, could they have surgery? I've seen it. And could they heal and go on and live the rest of their lives? They could. But if they had that kind of vulnerability pattern that I had going on, it is probably likely that at some point something else would create in the body, because you can't, again, you can't just use surgery to mask stress and misaligned energy. You can't. But could it work for some people, or would it be the best option for that person for 10 years? Because even the surgeons tell people that pelvic floor surgery will last you about 10 years and then you'll need it done again. So I wouldn't ever want to be the person to say, don't do that or do that. But if you are looking for another option, then there is one. 100% is one. But it just depends in terms of what do you believe and what is right for you. Mm. But I personally don't believe in pushing against any help in the world. And surgery is help in the world. And it's the right choice for lots of people.
Yeah. Well, your story with your client, I wanted to say, it was like, she was manifesting, she was attracting those brochures, like,
yeah.
coming to
like,
her.
Like, there's the answer. Yeah. And bless her, she'd literally been in meditation going, trying so hard. I was like, that's not the point of meditation. Trying that hard to heal your eyes is not going to heal your eyes. You know, just let it go and do that, you know. Exactly. You've got to find the right path for you. You know, when we interview a lot of people for our program, they are often people who have already dipped their toe in meditation or the mind-body connection, or they're already open to that, you know. So for them, it's the most natural path. But for other people, it's not.
Mm. But a few things you've talked about cross-relate, in the sense that, you know, with the pelvic floor surgery, it's like we said, if there's still that tension in the body, and I've seen it with people that go off and have back surgery and they think that's going to heal the pain, and they come back and it's still there. And it's like, yeah, because physically, it wasn't, there may have been a disc bulge or something, but that wasn't what was contributing to the pain. It's that stress pattern that we need to address. So I think that's something to be aware of for any surgery, you know, whether or not it's for pain, or maybe it's like gastric band surgery or something like that, that there often can be this underlying pattern that we need to address. So, you know, that flow on effect. And then also, you were talking about limiting beliefs, and they're the same. We take them in from other people and we hold on to them. And if we're not looking at those limiting beliefs and then exploring them and working to change them, then again, that pattern is going to stay the same.
100%. Yeah. You know, it happened to me. What was so interesting to me when I look back, when I was mostly practicing as a holistic health practitioner, was I was constantly testing myself, because I had access to a friend with a lab. And I would literally, it's hilarious when I look back, it's almost 20 years ago, I'd be blood drawing all the time, testing, you know, my poo, fecal sample, everything. And, you know, I would literally deal with one parasite and one, you know, infection of whatever was going on in my gut, you know, and heal that. And then, I kid you not, 3 months later, I'd have a whole nother set of things, a whole extra set. And I was on this sort of the diet, the protocols, the sleep, the this and that, great stuff. But it was never ending. There was always something that I created in my body constantly, nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. And what I started to do, which was really powerful, once I cottoned on to my root causes, my emotions and my beliefs, you know, this is not the stuff that I think it is, even the guts, you know, even your, what I love more than anything is, you know, as you know, that ideal percentage of good to bad bacteria is 80-20. And that's actually the ideal percentage in terms of emotions as well, which I love that. And if you think about it, water even correlates, you know, 70 to 80%. You know, I love that connection. And with the mind as well, you can get yourself to a place of 70 to 80% positive emotions, but you still need 20 to 30% of knowing what you don't want to expand to know what you do want. So you're never going to live your life, you know, in 100% joy. Otherwise, there's no point being in this physical body. But it was really wild to me when I started tracking my emotions with what was going on in my physical body. And I got to test this because we were in and out of California at the time. My friend had a lab and I would check my thyroid levels, my adrenal levels, all this stuff in my body at 8 a.m. in the morning. And then I would check them at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. They looked like two different people. Because my thoughts and emotions had built up so much during the day where they were less in the morning because I just meditated, worlds apart. So then to me, it really became obvious that this was the root cause of all of it, you know.
It's really interesting, but that's also why they say when you're getting, you know, tests done and it might be for your thyroid or, you know, stress levels or whatever, and, you know, you can do urine or you can do blood, but it's all going to change depending on the cycle, you know, menstrual cycle, the day, everything. So yeah,
all of it.
It's a very tiny snapshot at one sort of point in time.
Yeah. And that's what I say to people. Of course, it's important to have those tests. I'm not saying don't do that, but don't get too bent out of shape about that stuff. It's where a snapshot, exactly as you said, as to where you are right now, but your potential is exponential. You know, and sometimes what I see as well, because we work with a lot of 8-time personalities, surprise, surprise, it makes me laugh because sometimes, you know, I was talking to a lady the other day and she was saying, you know, I still have insecurity and I'm using this process, one of the processes we teach in our program, and I'm still processing and blah, blah, blah. And then she stopped for a second and she said, but I did actually see my pelvic floor physical therapist this morning. I was like, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, you've been hard on yourself. Now what are you going to tell me? And she said, yeah, I've got to tell you, actually. I'm 2 weeks into this program and already I've gone from a grade 3 Rectaceal to a grade 2 and my vaginal wall laxity has gone from extreme to moderate. So actually, I suppose I am progressing. Yeah. But because she was so focused, like I was, on the things that are going wrong, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, that is the dominance. And sometimes you don't even see, because there's a little bit of a lag for the body to catch up with your improved emotions, how fast her body was healing. But she hadn't put the focus there. She'd put the focus on what was going wrong rather than what was actually going right big time in the background.
I often have that with clients though too, because they'll start with me and, you know, a few lessons in, they'll be like, oh, well, I just don't think I'm progressing. And I'm like, you know, 4 weeks ago you were doing this. Now you're doing this. How do you feel like you're not progressing? They're like, yeah, but the exercise, it still feels hard. And I said, that's because we've progressed you from this basic one to this intermediate one. I said, if I kept you at the basic one the whole time, you wouldn't develop that strength. So I think a lot of people, they don't connect to that, and they focus on, maybe it just being hard and not sort of realization that, you know, my body has to be stronger to be able to do this harder thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think so many of us are just conditioned to be perfectionists as well and look for fault in ourselves instead of seeing all the amazing things that we do every single day, you know, as women and as mothers. So yeah, I think that's a part of the pattern that goes with a health issue as well, or a situation like a prolapse, that you usually have been someone who's incredibly hard on yourself. You know, you're not writing lists of all your great attributes day to day usually, right? Or all the things you've done. You're normally focusing on, oh no, out of this to-do list, there's these things I didn't do at the end, as opposed to what you have actually done. And yeah, that's a big factor in all of it as well, self-worth.
Yeah, well, you know, listening to all this, I'm like, tick, I would have been the perfect candidate to have a prolapse, really. I think I'm just lucky enough that I found the Pilates method and tapped into, you know, my being present in my body and learning more about the body at such an early age. Otherwise, I think I would have been in this boat.
I'm really happy for you that you found that and you didn't get there. I wouldn't want anyone to go through that. So I'm really, really appreciative of the work you do and the message you're putting out in the world, and the fact that, you know, you're not one of the ones who, like me, left it right to the last minute to get a nice sort of lesson to deal with.
Touch wood. I've still got time. I haven't hit menopause yet or anything. But I like to think that all that knowledge over time is built up. But before we finish up, I always like to ask my guests, if there's one piece of advice you could give to our listeners that they could go off and instigate straight away after listening to this podcast, what would it be?
I would say go and find a way through whatever method to connect to your emotions. That might be meditation, that might be a therapist, might be looking at Esther Hicks, does some incredible work. But find a way that there's something called the emotional scale. You can find it in so many different practices, which shows 22 emotions moving from the very bottom to the top, and learn it like a new language. You know where you are at. So if you are having a challenging moment, don't beat yourself up and tell yourself you're not good enough and why you're being angry. Find a way, like as if you were learning a new language, to go, oh, wow. Okay, this is the emotion of anger and this is what it feels like. Okay, good. Now I know. Because if you're going to try the law of attraction or any of this, or try to change beliefs, do Tony Robbins work, whatever, you have to know where you're starting from. And the biggest challenge I had in my life is I thought that I was pretty much, it's quite funny to me now, always in contentment all the time, because I was a practitioner and a holistic practitioner. And that's why I was never, ever getting great results from doing emotional work, because I was always starting too high up. I could not admit to myself, because I was in too much shame, that I was in insecurity and powerlessness and vulnerability 80% of the time, 90% of the time, probably. And as soon as I got real with that and said, it's okay, you are where you are, just be where you are, it changed everything. And the healing even started from that point. So yeah, find whatever way you can to learn emotions. And there's a million different ways.
Amazing. Fantastic advice. I think everybody can benefit from tapping into their emotions, because as you said, they will end up, you know, coming out in our body at some point. So, you know, the more that we can connect to our body and connect to our emotions, and the healthier we're going to be mentally and physically too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's life-changing. And I think once you can stop being so hard on yourself for being a human being and having emotions, particularly mothers, you know, because we try so to be this perfect role model and it shoots us in the foot. Whereas if I always say, if you can be the most vibrationally accurate person in front of your children, and you can say, hey, do you know what? I'm having a moment and I'm really angry right now. I'm just going to go upstairs and kick a few things around and get my head in a better space. And then they watch you take responsibility and you come back slightly different. That's powerful for them. They don't want you to be perfect. They just want to see, it's okay to feel this. And that's how you deal with it, instead of, you know, screaming at everybody else, which is also understandable and we'll all do at some point. But, you know, I think it's really powerful for them to not to be afraid of emotions. So, I think knowing where you're at and not sort of trying to put a happy sticker on it or do what I used to do, which is kind of like a bit of spiritual bypassing and saying things I didn't mean, that's confusing for people and children. You know, that doesn't feel so good to be around. Whereas even if you're around someone who's feeling really negative, but it's really obvious where they are and they're not trying to be anywhere else, that's okay. You can deal with that. Mm. But it's about being authentic with that. It's really powerful.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been a pleasure having you on and chatting about all things pelvic floor, prolapse, emotions, and more. And thank you for the work that you're doing too, because I think, you know, the more women that can hear this and explore this, and even if you don't have, you know, any pelvic floor issues or prolapse, but just take away that you can connect to your emotions and that can change so much and heal so much, that's just a really powerful message to walk away with too.
Yeah, 100% agree. And thank you so much for having me on your amazing show. Super appreciative of you. And let's do this together, right? Help change this in the world and help people get back to who they really are.
Yeah, great. Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.